Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. It's October 6, 2012. Today we're going to have a guest on here shortly, about 20 minutes, Dr. Lenny Time. He'll be speaking on the sacred geometry of water. Life and Cosmos. We're going to be talking about the subject. Lenny's got a very interesting background with quantum physics. I'll be going into that in a little bit. And I thought I'd give a little bit of an orientation. I've been, throughout this last several months, I've been focusing on the subject of what's going on with 2012. We're coming down the home stretch, about 10 weeks now through the end of the year. And I thought I'd give a little bit of an orientation to the subject of what's going on with the unified field, the energy field, the quantum field, as relates to two major factors that are converging in a very unique way over the next couple months. We're looking at what I sometimes refer to as surge in the source field, and what's going on with galactic alignment with our planet, and our little place in universe, and as that relates to what's going on with the energy fields of our world, and this quantum field, the electromagnetic field, how it's in flux right now because of this understanding of galactic alignment. Now, I've had quite a few speakers on the show, and we've talked about what's going on with this understanding of our solar system as it orbits up and across what's called the galactic plane of our galaxy. And this understanding that there is definitely a major, sometimes referred to as this galactic alignment superwave, because of this process of energy alignment of our solar system in the galactic plane, and this 25,800-year precession of the equinox, that time has come again. This time, with this article I've sent out just last night, and some of you may be listening because of that, I wanted to give kind of a heads up of this combined effect of not just this understanding of galactic alignment, but also the flyby of the sometimes referred to as the Planet X complex or Planet X system, this dwarf solar, it's a mini solar system that comes into our system, our solar system, about every 3,600 years, and I've got more information on that, some really good videos from a website, the PoleShift.ning website, and I've provided links to their website, but specifically a couple of videos from their website. And if you go to the article that I've sent out and have posted up on the Cosmic Love homepage, you'll notice that I've provided several articles related to both what's going on with the source field, with galactic alignment, and flyby of this Planet X system. I've had different speakers on the radio talk show Cosmic Love over the last year, Gordon Giannamato, who's an expert on the Planet X system, and other speakers who have an understanding of quantum reality with this galactic alignment. And I've had speakers and authors of books on this subject of the Mayan calendar, which is really about this understanding of the end of time as we know it, because time, the rate of change, the time and our perceptions, and reality as we know it, how that is changing as a function of these larger cosmic cycles that the Mayans were well aware of, as well as civilizations all over the world who had created these monumental structures that usually were aligned to the stars and had reference to this understanding of precession of the equinox and what's going on with the great crossing, as it was referred to anciently, of our solar system across this galactic plane. How they knew about this, some of the ancients, I have to wonder. I remember having one lady who was an expert on the Mayan calendar on here, she's almost 2 years ago, who explained that there was actually ancient records of the ancient Mayans had actually records of star people that came and given them this knowledge, and how they etched it in stone on the Mayan calendar or otherwise, but that they actually were given information from extraterrestrials. Now, believe that if you want, or believe it or not, but there's a lot of people that are talking about what's going on in the world right now as a function of disclosure, with UFOs popping in and out of space, being witnessed all over the world, and just as there's all kinds of people taking pictures of this Planet X system, and with pictures using different filters. If you go to the poleshift.ning.com website, you'll have a lot of pictures, videos, pictures, infrared pictures, other pictures of what's going on in cosmos. That's a validation or verification of this understanding of we live at an amazing time right now. We all have kind of front row seats in this huge drama that's unfolding. So if you click on that link that I've got on the Cosmic Love web page, the homepage, for more information on this article, this Believe It or Not article, with understanding of this surge in the source field and the flyby of the Planet X system, and the third point I have on what's going on with this mass awakening of conscious evolution, revolution. I have a section on that. I have, since I sent out the email last night, I've found more information that I've linked in to these three points. The first two, again, being a surge in the source field, this understanding of galactic alignment as explained in the first link, and the understanding of the sun's binary twin, which is this binary dwarf star of the Planet X system. That's the second link. And there's this third link that I've been emphasizing recently, and this understanding of this universal law of language, source code, or however you want to understand cosmic law language, with this 2012 Love Unveiled understanding. And when I say 2012 Love, I'm talking about cosmic love, universal law language. Most people that have been reading my stuff or listen to the show know that I'm talking about principles that are universal, and I'd like to massage that understanding as kind of a hopeful, good news aspect of what's going on. I don't mean to be, go to the dark side with all this understanding of major changes that are coming. My normalcy bias tends to believe or want to believe that that there is, see the good, and when I say see the good, I'm talking about the 2012 spiritual shift, which is actually the subject going to be on Cosmic Love coming up October 20th. I'm having Brian and Therese Emmanuel Gray are the authors of a book with Carolyn Hansky called The 2012 Spiritual Shift. I'll be having Therese Emmanuel Gray on the show coming up October 20th. And we'll be discussing her book, or their book. She's co-author of this book with Carolyn and Brian on the 2012 spiritual shift. So, I've always believed that the the man of God sees God in all man, or, you know, this, like, the kind man of God sees God, love, divine love in all mankind. And, you know, just like, I think there's a part of all of us that gets kind of overwhelmed with, you know, this, you know, what is really going on with the portents for imminent pole shift. And, you know, it scares the, you know, it's enough to scare the bejesus out of just about anyone. Unless you look at it with a philosophical calm, like, you know, the all-seeing eye at the center of the hurricane. You know, it's like you get off center a little bit and you get caught up in the swirl, a person can go to the dark side pretty easy, you know, getting into this stuff, unless they have a kind of a philosophic calm about it. Well, I mean, I really believe in my heart of hearts that the divine destiny of Earth's evolution at this time is about to be an awakening. And I've read enough from multiple perspectives regarding something big is about to happen and is happening. And it's hard sometimes to step back and get a kind of a objective perspective of the trendings of this accelerated rate of change to what's sometimes referred to zero point. And I've provided more links on that subject. Terrence McKenna's work on zero point and what's going on with this 12/21/2012 point of time, and numerous other speakers have compelling evidence. Project Camelot projects with the Looking Glass, where they were, you know, this new technology viewing of the future, this or ancient technology or this quantum technology, that somehow they have, you know, a way of, and they apparently have had this technology for some time. They see something coming with some kind of energetic consciousness shift, which, you know, our prevailing awareness or normalcy bias just doesn't grok it or, you know, see what that could be. And I'm sure, you know, so to speak, seers or visionaries who were tapping the Akashic records from ancient times, they may have talked about revelations, you know, at this time, or they may have talked about something coming that did not fit their language or context or way of explaining conceptually from their perspective what's going on now any more than we can right on the threshold of it. So, this understanding of quantum reality, you can dance around the issue. It's like a holograph. You know, you can look at the holographic universe, you know, what's going on in the quantum field from a lot of different perspectives. And the more perspectives you look at it, the more you get kind of a repeating pattern or a common pattern or a common sense of what's going on. So that's been my objective. And, I mean, something's got to change dramatically, globally, because life as it's going with unlabeled GMO foods and, you know, the whole gauntlet of chemical assault from chemtrails to fluoride in water and on and on and on, you know, it's like there's this massive assault on the human evolution, it seems, at this point. And you can look at it from a lot of perspectives, and something's definitely got to change. And it's, you know, I think anyone with a positive vision wants to see, you know, wants to see the good and how that can happen. So in this show, I wanted to reference and kind of give a reading from that article I just sent out and have posted on the Cosmic Love homepage. It's kind of an orientation to this quantum reality before we have Dr. Lenny come on here in a little bit. And what I recommend is that those who know me from my writings before I'm providing more information than you probably want, but a good way to look at my stuff is just kind of do a quick scan overview of what I'm saying without clicking on all the links first time through. And in this case, the three most important links are right there at the top of that Believe It or Not article, which where it says continued, I recommend you read that version that's on the is continued from, you know, the top of the Cosmic Love homepage. And read those and click on those after you kind of scan and get an orientation what I'm talking about. There are several really important links and videos that are provided right there at the top. And I'd say probably the three most important one are the first three, you know, points 1, 2, and 3 about searching the source field, fly by the Planet X system, and that third point, mass awakening of conscience. And that's going to be an ongoing theme, this understanding of kind of a new American revolution, you know, worldwide, America as the I am race, you know, the keyword, code word for America as the I am race scrambled. You know, if you scramble those letters, and it's what they call it, an anagram, and that a global revolution in higher consciousness is going on, and through zero point, and through the end of the year, that's a parallel to what was going on in the United States. You know, the American Revolution, but now it's a global thing, and it's more like a revolution in higher consciousness, mass awakening. Unity, co-creation, there's a lot of different concepts in the different perspectives that are out there with New Age or Enlightenment groups, social networks that deal with the subject of conscious evolution. This is like a major meme, you know, a major theme. And there's also another video link that I've got right there at the top of that Believe It or Not article as you go into the copy, and it's regarding the genetic engineering. It was a really good video by Gary Knoll. And Gary Knoll, if those who are into the holistic health field and healthcare, have been into the healthcare field and for very long, probably come across Gary Knoll's name. He's a legend, and he's done an extraordinary video on GMOs. And he explains, you know, this understanding with GMOs, and it's and the link I provided is unlabeled GMO foods. And if you click on that, it's actually this video by Gary Knoll right there. I think it's the fourth link down at the top from that article as you go into it where it says continued. And this understanding of what's going on with genetic engineering is a parallel with what happened in the ancient mythical, so to speak, mythical civilization of Atlantis. If you get into that Casey readings and those who've delved much into that subject of Atlantis, that they also reached a point of high technology where they got into messing with and tinkering with genetic engineering, cloning, and of course that's what genetic engineering is. It's sometimes cloning human tissues into plant species and just mixing it all up with messing with nature's blueprint. And now they're finding out that a lot of these GMO foods, all kinds of studies coming out, all kinds of movies coming out on GMOs this last several weeks, major expose videos on the internet about GMOs and how toxic they are and how virtually they're just creating cancers and they're just poisoning you know, the cells and studies they've done with animals and rats, and it's horrendous. So it's that's all coming out, and this is, you know, this is revelations in our time. You know, it's like with the thinning of the veil or end of time as we know it, we're all these you know, knowledge power is unveiling, you know, with the global internet. There, you know, it's, people are waking up all over the world to things that have been covered up and conspiracies, so to speak, that were real and have been real. I mean, it's stuff. Who's had the finger on the pulse of the collective consciousness for years? It's been amazing how much stuff is coming out right now. And I sometimes refer to this as net reality, the internet reality as relates to what I refer to as the internet. The internet is like effective sensory perception, nonlinear consciousness, intuitive knowing. And a lot of what the internet is, you know, in a real sense, is like a parallel or a parallel universe to the web of consciousness that is nonlinear. It's that, you know, shamans and mystics and, throughout history have pierced the veil or had that ability to know intuitively that which was not obvious in a linear, objective way. And this is happening with more people all over the world, and who are sharing perspectives of this, what I refer to as source field or unified field or source code, or just source. And and I've talked about this in previous shows, the understanding how there is a connection on an atomic level to a galactic level through torus fields within torus fields, and this unified field there's an intelligence there that, as the veil thins, more and more people are waking up to gifts of the Holy Spirit, discernment of spirits, effective sensory perception of all kinds. This fascinates me. It's been like I've kind of lived a Ripley's Believe It or Not a journey with this Cosmic Love show and the people I've interviewed and the subjects I've got onto. But I've been fascinated by Ripley's Believe It or Not since I was a kid. There's Ripley's Believe It or Not museums, you know, around the United States. One of them is down at Jackson Hole Museum. So it's about that time of the show where I wanted to bring on Dr. Lenny. Dr. Lenny, are you there?
I am here, although it's been interesting getting to here.
Well, good.
I've been listening to the show, and there's definitely some hot points that you have hit that I would be more than happy to explain my perception of.
Well, I'd love it if you did that. And I would like to preface it by saying that Dr. Lenny's got a lot of experience on the university level and a research level with doctorates in what are all your doctorates you've got, Dr. Lenny?
My doctorate is in inorganic chemistry, but for the last 5 years I have been heavy into metaphysics.
Good
and
for
in
you.
Fact, the material you put up by Terence McKenna was familiar material to me.
Uh-huh.
The zero point energy that he talks about, I think, makes sense if you look at nature through different eyes.
Yep.
The eyes we should be looking at nature through are ones that follow the phi ratio or the Fibonacci sequence.
Yep.
Whereas the ones we're trying to force nature into are very linear.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of my favorite expositors of this nonlinear, natural, organic perspective that's all coming to a head with his stuff on zero point through the end of the year. And he's quite lucid on this understanding. And of course, you know, he died this last year or a few years ago?
A few years back,
and his stuff is like extremely prescient and extremely timely. So your perspective on that, I definitely appreciate.
Yeah,
that.
I enjoyed Terence McKenna. I also thought very highly of Timothy Leary.
Mm-hmm.
And between Leary and McKenna, when they go into exploring consciousness with the various different drugs, I feel that what they're doing is they're sort of tuning the wavelength of consciousness.
Yeah.
That consciousness is one of those things that depends on resonance. And just like you tune an AM/FM radio, you tune your consciousness in, and you can pick up different vibrations from the natural world at different levels.
Well, you know, Timothy Leary and Ralph Metzner, their work that they're really brilliant pioneering the work that they did in prisons with prison inmates. with psychotropics, and again creating a very loving environment, you know, with a resonance, a resonant frequency that was acceptance and no judgment. And they had such miraculous results that the authorities shut down the research just because it was too revolutionary.
You know, that is a problem that we have, is that the authority really doesn't know what the hell's going on. We have this normalcy bias with something that is hardly normal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take our society as being normal. I think it's extremely warped. If you want to talk about quantum fields and flux, look at humanity.
Yeah, and I think it's becoming patently self-evident to, a huge, number of people that this is. It's got to a point where there's sufficient awakening to. We got serious problems on this planet.
We do, and most pressing is the Gaia metabolism problem. I mean, everybody's talking about global warming as though it were human-caused, and we kind of know that with the radiant energy of the sun. It's interesting how Mars and Venus and Saturn and Jupiter are all rising in temperature along with Earth, and yet their human populations didn't cause their warming.
Yeah, that's always been to me. It's like the smoking gun, just like building number 7, on 9/11.
Right. But we don't.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be fouling our own nest. After Fukushima, the Gulf of Mexico, the dead spots off of just about every river, and the floating plastic island in the Pacific, you think that maybe the powers that be ought to be suspended so that we can get some real people to address the problem?
Yeah, and, it's kind of a, and this back to quantum reality, I think a thing that goes on to the collective conscience of humanity, that's the same testings of the ego of any one individual. That in a collective level, there's a normalcy bias where we tolerate tyrants, everyone lives with their ego, so to speak. You know what I mean? And that there's a connection, in the quantum field.
Yeah, but
field
I can talk to that using the phi ratio and the Fibonacci sequence also. You see,
that's
the Fibonacci sequence, when you starts at 0 and then goes to 1, and then the next number is 1, and there's two different 1s in the Fibonacci sequence. And the way I interpret nature is that nature is one of the two 1s of the Fibonacci sequence. It's the grand whole, and that everything is part of something. And that's really the love field that we all find ourselves in.
That's it.
And there's no way of escaping that field, but then why would you want to?
That's, I think, a metaphysical principle that I've always believed, that to be made whole, one must step into the circle of wholeness, oneness.
At every fractal level, it always begins with one.
Isn't that
fractals
interesting?
Fractals don't subdivide.
And the fractal order of the universe is a subject I know we both resonate with, this concept of everything is fields within fields, and it's all organized with fractal geometrized.
Sure. Energy. I think Rupert Sheldrake down in Australia is probably the leader on morphic fields and how they relate to something, everything, really. But then you look at the Mendelbrot diagrams, the ones that sort of have the circles with it that repeat every fifth or sixth level. And as you start going through and looking at those, you realize that even though they're all the same, they're also all unique.
Yeah.
And that's the second one that we deal with, is that we are all unique individuals. And every time I hear people say, oh, we got to all be one, put your ego aside and join us, I want to barf all over them. Because it's not about putting your ego aside, it's about accommodating your ego and being part of everything, because your ego was created because it's you.
Yeah.
I have some real problems with people who want ego suspended so that their ego can take control.
I think that's where Carl Jung met Timothy Leary on embracing your dark side.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how we talk about dark and light also, because I'm a chess player. And when I think of dark and light, I usually think about white and black.
Yeah.
And in a chess game, white and black does not start in an even situation. White starts with an advantage.
Uh-huh.
And there is lots of game theory that's been invented on making that disadvantage even greater to see how people react and do things.
Well,
now,
you know,
I've been...
Hmm? Yeah, go ahead.
I've been reading Lynn McTaggart's book, The Bond.
Yeah, I had her on my I had her on my talk show this last year to talk about that book.
Yeah, it's a very interesting book, and from a social perspective, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty excited because I'm a chemist, and The Nature of the Chemical Bond by Linus Pauling is probably the best piece of work ever written in chemistry.
Really?
And so I thought that McTaggart was going to go into what Pauling was talking about with bonding and that, and not what I got out of the book. It's a fascinating read, and she's very intelligent, but once again, she's hooked up into this control mechanism that the elites of the world don't seem to think they're elite and can tell everybody what to do, and it's just because they know better, not because they're elite anymore.
Yeah, and that's the intellectual elite are just as bad as the power elite in that regard, and it's the, and that's where and I like the chess game metaphor, that there's this is what's going on with you might say elitism or supremacism, and you know how the those who take it take command of the center of the chessboard and get out there and. You know, the expression, you know, the best defense is a good offense, and basically kind of put the other players in the cosmic chess game on the defensive.
A new cosmic chess game that is going on, and the cosmic chess game has the rules just slightly different from normal chess. First off, you don't get to see where your opponent is. You got to sort of make your moves and just hope that you run into them. Then the next thing is that while you're kept in the dark, at any given time, any piece that's captured on the board, you can put back onto the board in place of a turn, so that pieces that are gone can come back in unusual squares. Can't put the pawn on the first or the ace. But all of a sudden, we're playing a game called mushroom chess, where we're kept in the dark and shoveled a lot of BS.
Yeah.
And that's a much more realistic game than the chessboard.
I think that what's going on at the highest quantum level in this chess game is really... And the metaphor in the scriptures was referring to principalities of darkness, you know, the warning about principalities of darkness, and of course with the ancient teachings on discernment of spirits, and that it's back to that, the resonance factor, you know, what we resonate with, you know, where, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, you know, where he, what frequency he resonates with, and it's almost like, you know, we all come in with these soul contracts, you know. I mean, each individual snowflake, unique pattern, soul matrix, you know, individualized souls come in to physical embodiment in this dense 3D world, you know, and it is like a game, in the game of life, to where, you know, to every action there's an opposite and equal reaction, you know, there's, you know, we reap what we sow, along the lines of what we talked about the other day, you know, how we get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting dynamic at the highest level. It's to the extent that we can resonate with source. I mean, before we came, as great spiritual beings trying to have a, you know, human experience down here, and basically, float all boats with, raising the vibration a little bit in the quantum field. I think a lot of us came into with that agreement that that's what we were going to do, you know, the soul contract, that we were going to, you know, bring light to dark places, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of what has happened in this resonance process is, you know, it's been like a quagmire. You know, it's like as a general rule, you know, humanity's kind of forgot where we came from, where we're going, and, how to get back home.
I think it's a perspective problem, Christopher, because,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that really cleared me up after I started meditating and learning as above, so below, was when I really figured out what ground is. And we are so used to ground being under our feet that we've misdefined ground, and we expect ground to be the total bottom. And believe me, if ground is the total bottom, we don't want to be there.
That's like the reptilian brain.
Yeah, if you take a wave, just imagine a sine wave, okay? And imagine that you can hold both ends of your sine wave, and you can either stretch it out or you can push it together.
Uh-huh.
If you push your wave together and you make a whole bunch of waves that come in and they're all stacked up, that's a much, much, much higher vibration than if you pull your wave apart and just have one long wave going over the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, if ground is the midpoint where the wave crosses from top to bottom, and if the idea is that you are more grounded if you spend more time at that midpoint, then people who are vibrating at a really high frequency get lots and lots of more time at the midpoint, and suddenly seconds and minutes are not near as limiting as when people in fear and panic all of a sudden realize that they've got to do something quick, and they turn off the real brain and move to the reptilian brain. Well, I've got something coming up next weekend in Reno at the River School. The River School Farm in Reno is hosting Dr. Lenny, Matt Stein, Rick Miller, and maybe Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. In a weekend where we're teaching people how to control their emotions in their own mind. It's just a way of training yourself so that you can do your major thinking without thinking and react in a crisis and be prepared for whatever they might throw at us. Because the chess game of white and black this time is over, and white has won, and we're just throwing up a lot of chaff from the black because they haven't realized they've lost this game. But it's a reset. The 56,000-year Mayan cycle is coming, and we know it resets every time.
It does. And I refer to that as the surgeon in the source field. I began the show by talking about what I guess you would call grounding. I refer to it as being centered and connected with kind of a philosophic calm, like at the center of the hurricane. You know, if you're, you know, that all-seeing eye at the center of the hurricane, you know, if when this has been my experience, when under extreme stress, I tend to get kind of, when I say steely cold, it's like a philosophic calm. And it's kind of like, you know, if you get into the brainwave aspects of this, alpha, the beta waves, prevailing consciousness, then it goes, what is it, theta, alpha, and delta, into deeper, and they find that that in delta, the brain waves do become, more level, and the analogy is like a still mountain lake that will reflect the heavens, but if you look down into it, and shift your gaze a little bit, you can see below the surface the subterranean, underneath of the water, so you can just reflect the heavens as well as basically, go to the depth of source, and that philosophic you know, still that whole concept of stilling the mind and what I refer to being centered and connected with this art and stepping
well,
into the
first. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting how you're using a water analogy.
Yeah.
Because I really think that water is the seat of consciousness. And that I think that what water does is it aligns itself into a structured order and passes information through the breaking of symmetry. So that if water is real happy, all the molecules are lined up and they're all surrounding ions and all the hydrogens are pointing at oxygens, but when a water molecule as an individual atom and not as part of the bulk water goes off on his own individual mission, he ends up in some biological system where he isn't really like a water molecule anymore. He's more like a conduit or a bridge between enzyme structures or proteins or something that gives him a role where the bond angle is not 109.4 and the bond lengths aren't exactly 1.62. And each individual person, human water atom, so to speak, has its own memory of all the places it's been and all those strange bond angles it's been in and who it got to be with and what it shared, just like we share our communications with different people in life. And one of the things I relish was the time when Linus Pauling walked into my laboratory in graduate school and talked to me about my research for about 4 hours.
Wow, that would have been a mind blow. I've always thought he was, well, his work with vitamin C still is considered, well, it's a threat to the medical industrial complex.
Oh, yeah, they attack him vehemently, and he's right.
Yeah. I mean,
when you really get down to it, what vitamin C is it's an antioxidant, mm-hmm. and the whole process of aging is just oxidation.
Yep.
And, you know, life works because oxidation goes in one direction and reduction goes in the other direction, and they're coupled to each other, and you can't have one without the other.
I remember 30 years ago the research with Linus Pauling on cancer therapy and how you get up to 10 grams to 20 grams a day of vitamin C until you reach bowel mm-hmm. tolerance and for remission of cancer. And of course, they just stuffed that right down the memory hole.
Well, you know, the best thing I could suggest to the listeners about pharmaceutical drugs is to get off them completely.
Yeah.
Even aspirin. It's all.
Yeah.
I'd get off of food also if I had the choice, because you never can tell when the GMOs are there. But, you know, as you're talking about GMOs and the natural affront to life, I've been thinking hard about trying to form an organization where scientists can get together and question the BS that we're given in our own fields and really put down the lies that companies like DuPont and Monsanto come up with. Because
it's called peer-reviewed clinical research.
No, it's called getting the president to appoint your people to the highest positions in government and burying any research.
Yeah, well, that's the
we don't have science based on research. We have we have it all based on myth. Science is nothing more than a religion these days, and if we don't seriously question our knowledge base, we're going to believe a whole lot of myths that really we shouldn't believe in. And one of those myths is that humanity is not divine, because we are. We are divine creatures, and anything we make up our mind to do, we can do. So a matter of fixing this world is just seeing how it's broken. So first thing you do when you're confronted with a big hole is stop digging. Put down your shovel.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do.
And how we do that is, you know, how we involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness with an interactive process that somehow engages that centered and connective, you know, perspective, a balance, you know, with checks and balances on inordinate...
A cooperative competition to Well, it's really vain of us to think we can save the planet. The planet isn't going anywhere. What we're really saving is the humanity on the surface of the planet. And that's something that I kind of think might be worth saving.
Yeah, I like to consider how there has been a process of conscious evolution on the planet that's really come to this point with, and specifically with the computer internet revolution. There has been a centered and connective theme of basically of transcending the sense of separation of time and space on the planet with a kind of a global village thing. And this is one of my favorite mentors, is, you might say, Marshall McLuhan, going way back. You know, this medium is the message, and the internet has really it's been a paradigm buster. You know, the knowledge power has kind of pushed the issue of true wisdom, you know, right to the threshold of the subject of cooperation and love. You know, and it's right on that threshold.
Isn't it interesting how wisdom and intelligence aren't correlated at all?
Yeah, well, at the highest levels, I think they're in perfect correlation, but at the human level, the economics and politics are far more complex than the science.
Mm-hmm. There are some real good organizations out there that are starting to make some differences, and I've been working with a group that's looking at creating Gaia villages all over the world. And our idea of a Gaia village is nothing more than Jacques Fresco and his Resonance Project, which is some of the most awesome work I've ever seen in community development.
Yeah,
there's also
Jacques Fresco,
an online love party every Saturday from the Galactic Free Press. And for people who just can't believe anything in the world anymore, tuning into the Galactic Free Press will blow any misconceptions that you didn't already have, because it's not at all what anyone thinks.
Is that a Jacques Fresco thing? The Galactic Free Press?
No, the Galactic Free Press is out of Mount Shasta area, and the people who run it are just good people. And they're not specifically trained in anything that I know of, except keeping a party of happy people going and dealing with issues that just talk people out of the fear and the panic that they're facing.
But, you know,
and, almost all the fear is self-created.
I think maybe that group in Mount Shasta might be a spinoff of another group down at Mount Shasta with Sister Deidre. And Sister Deidre was the secretary of the Ballards in the IM teachings back in the 30s. And the IM movement was kind of the precursor of, you know, the Bridge to Freedom and the Ascended Master teachings through Elizabeth Clare Prophet. You know, that was
It's interesting how you mention Elizabeth Clare Prophet. I dated a woman who came from the Prophet line of metaphysics and actually had spent time with Elizabeth Clare Prophet and was pretty much very into it. And I learned more from watching how the prophets ascended and descended within their own world from just listening to the stories than anything that I could have gone through in the same period of time. The stories of just watching how people think they have it right, but don't quite have it all.
Yeah.
And each of us gets a little tiny sliver and a piece of it, but we have to put all our pieces together. And I tell you, the people who have the most education are the most educated idiots in the world.
Yeah,
because
the compartmentalized
they think
thinking
and
rather
we
than
really don't know anything.
Yeah, this whole understanding of the lockstep, linear, left brain, letter of the law, you know, that compartmentalizes and fragments the right brain, nonlinear, spherical spirit of the law, you know, and the letter of the law, of course, counts the spirit of the law. And
we've got superimposed on us a Cartesian set of coordinates that are X, Y, Z in time, and we're told this is the only way it is and you must live with it. But just think, what if the Akashic records that you mentioned half an hour ago weren't actually records at all, but were a live simulcast of everything that's ever been, and that the now is always here and has always been here and will always be here?
The infinite, eternal, here and now,
different parts
source
of time
connection,
stream.
Yeah.
It seems to me that we are way, way more connected than we think we are, and all we have to do is tap into it.
I think it's been educated out of us from an early age.
Very deliberately, too.
Deliberately. But I wanted to reference that thing as Sister Deidre. Now, the story of her, as she was the secretary of the Ballards in the 30s, and after that, that movement was broken up by, you know, trumped-up charges by the government for mail fraud because they had about a million people in that IM movement teaching, you know, out of Los Angeles early, you know, like in the 30s, and it was created such a sensation that fundamentalist religious people were just having a fit about the idea of someone going directly to source, you know, and taking messengers from the masters and having a million, you know, having a huge movement growing. So they basically trumped up charge that was shut down. But Sister Deidre was the secretary, and she went down to Lake Titicaca and became like a messenger of the galactic masters, you know, the galactic free press, so to speak. And she did that for like 11 years and then went back to Mount Shasta, and she had a thriving community there for years. And I have a friend who's got, you know, her mandamuses, or, you know, her lessons, quite a few years of her work, and he talked of her, you know he goes down to Shasta regularly. So I wouldn't be surprised if that galactic free press came out of that that community, that the teachings of the galactic masters, which is to say,
it does make sense that it would be that way.
Yeah,
I can see by the age of the people involved and the continuity of the community that there is definitely something there behind it.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to mention is that I am going to be teaching a water course at the Northwest Education and Training Institute.
Okay.
And the reason I'm teaching a water course is because I really want to investigate my hypothesis that water is the seat level of consciousness. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to assemble a large amount of people all over the world this coming year to do some experiments in agriculture where they measure what they grow very carefully. And we really look at the process of what it takes to grow food with a whole new set of eyes that measure everything and see how things go.
Oh,
because there have been so many things that have gone on that I'm not sure we actually know how to grow things anymore. I think they grow themselves pretty well and that we just interfere with the process. But it's the same thing, like I don't think we count anymore.
So you're going to have this online course on the many facets of water, and you've got more information on that at your website at nweti.com.
Yes.
Is that correct? That's www.nweti.com is your website regarding your online course on the many facets of water. And I know you have a lot of fascinating information about water. I think water is... the tetrahedral molecule, how it holds memory, and how it is, you know, like, you know, one of the key geometric, you know, components to the universe, actually.
The alignment of water and how it remembers things is something that we really don't understand, and I think that we're getting closer by understanding the field of epigenetics. But I think that the idea that water is a pure substance really confuses people, because it's not. There's a lot of things that dissolve in water, and the pure water after you've distilled it isn't very helpful. It's the things that are dissolved in the water that give it its biological energy.
Including frequencies.
That really resonate.
Yeah, the resonance factor. Of course, Emoto's work on that, on water crystals, and there's just, I mean, it to me, that's a fascinating subject: energy in motion, emotion, how it imprints water, and then, you know, we shape our environment. We imprint imprint the water in our body with emotion, and then it imprints us.
Yeah, Emoto did some really fascinating work, and the scientific community got all upset with Dr. Emoto because he violated and didn't use protocols. But Dr. Emoto is not a scientist and never made any claims to be a scientist. And the burden of proof that the scientists wanted from him for an observation that I thought was one of the more stunning observations ever made in history,
yeah,
was just nonsense. It was the same stuff that they threw at Pons and Fleischmann when they invented cold fusion, which, by the way, happens to work very nicely.
Well, that's the reason why we can't get accreditation as metaphysicians, Denny. Lenny, I mean, Dr. Mm-hmm. Lenny, that's been one of my bones to pick. You know, you can't get you can't get accredited basically quantum consciousness.
Well, you know, maybe we can work something out through NUETI where we form a field of study called quantum consciousness studies and earn those degrees once again and award them to ourselves because we know the field.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Well, there needs to be some kind of a recognition of the principles. And wish you well in that regard. I think that's the pioneering work of the of a golden age, actually.
Well, we'll work at it, and there's a lot of other things that we'll want to get done also. There's also the opportunity for other people to use NUETI to teach what they know. And
uh-huh.
So if we wanted to have a Cosmic Love course, we could probably be up and running within a month.
Oh, I'd like to be involved with that, and I want to be in touch with you on that. We're going to have to do a wrap here at the end of the show.
Okay.
I want to thank you so much, Dr. Lenny, for coming on the show. I really enjoy talking along these lines. I want to thank the listeners today, and we'll be back in a couple weeks. And appreciate the experience today, Dr. Lenny. Look forward to keeping in touch with you.
All right. I will definitely be a listener as well as a contributor.
Thanks. Happy trails, everyone. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to have a presentation interview with Therese Emanuel Gray on the 2012 Spiritual Shift. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either. The internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.